Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. The Flynn judge, Judge Sullivan, has he made himself a party to the case? And thus, will the full en banc panel of the Court of Appeals in D.C. force him to remove himself from the case? We'll talk about it today and explain all of that on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And, Dad, in an interesting turn of events,
I'd say so.
We had the full Court of Appeals in D.C. decide that they would hear Judge Sullivan's appeal. Now, that's interesting. I want to point that out because this is key to what's coming next. They would hear Judge Sullivan's appeal of the three-judge panel saying he was wrong and did not have the authority to disregard the Department of Justice decision to drop the case. And second, he was wrong to appoint an outside counsel to come and argue against the Department of Justice. So the en banc, the whole, it's 10 judges because right. One had to recuse themselves, was going to hear this. And it's coming up August 11th for oral argument. Well, they just released late afternoon, two new items they want briefed and argued in the case. And these two new items are all about whether Judge Sullivan be recused, but actually should he be removed by the Court of Appeals.
Yeah, so we actually have an order here, and this is what's so interesting about this. There's an order that's been entered, and the order says that in addition to the issues set forth in the court's order, the parties should be prepared to address at oral arguments the effects of, and then what you get into is the effect of the judge being disqualified under Section 28 U.S.C. Code Section 455. Disqualification of justice, judge, or magistrate. Any judge, justice, or magistrate shall disqualify himself in any proceeding which impartiality might be reasonably questioned. And Andy, the Court of Appeals is reasonably questioning this because what they're saying is, hey, he's a party litigant.
That's right, Jay. As a matter of fact, if you go down in that code section, it says that a judge or magistrate of the United States shall be disqualified if he is a party to the proceeding. Well, what do you think Judge Sullivan is but a party to the proceeding? He has petitioned the court to intervene in the action. He didn't like the decision of the three-judge panel, and now he's coming back again and saying, I want the whole court to hear it. So he has become, not only is his impartiality reasonably questionable, but now he has become a party to the proceeding and shouldn't be out of the case by statute.
And it makes it very clear in the U.S. Code. So as 28 U.S. The U.S. Code Section 455 continues on the disqualification of justice, judge, or magistrate, it's Section 5, just to explain what they mean, he or his spouse or a person within the third degree of a relationship to either of them or the spouse of such a person is a party to the proceeding or an officer, director, or trustee of a party. He shall also disqualify himself in the following circumstances. Judge Sullivan certainly meets the category of being now a party to the proceeding. He is the one that appealed this.
Look, he's made himself a party to the proceeding. Let's be clear. It was his actions that made him a party to these proceedings. I have said that this from the beginning. I've talked about this from the beginning. How in the world can this judge be the determining vote, if you will, the determining decider of fact and law on General Flynn's case? Once the Department of Justice said this case should be dismissed, you know what the answer should have been? Motion to dismiss granted, period, end of story. Instead, what happens? A judge decides to become a litigant. And as Andy said and Jordan said, they can't do that.
No, they can't. Folks, we'll take your phone calls to this. 1-800-684-3110. As always, we encourage you, go to ACLJ.org. August, also a matching challenge month. Double the impact of your donation. We've got work going on across the country and world at ACLJ.org. Donate today. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And this is an unreal situation. So you have yesterday, and this wasn't looking good actually for General Flynn, because
the panel
was much more left-leaning and decided, yeah. Even the fact they decided to hear the three-judge panel and to hear it en banc meant that there were those who thought the three-judge panel was wrong. But now they've thrown Judge Sullivan a curveball, to say the least, Dad, by saying that it's further ordered. And this was just last night, that on August 11th, so we're talking about 5 days from now, that in addition to the issue set forth in the original order on July 30th, the parties be prepared to address at oral argument, so they're not even going to brief it, just at oral argument, the effect, if any, of the Section 28 U.S.C., Section 455, disqualification of judges. And it talks about when judges should be disqualified. And Section 5 of that says when a judge or his spouse or a person within the third degree of relationship to either of them or the spouse of such a person is a party to a proceeding. You can end right there.
Right.
Because he's not even like, this is not a third party thing. It's not a spouse. It is him. Well, Judge Sullivan is the party to the proceeding. He is disqualified.
I don't know if we have it, Will. Do we have the order that I could show it on TV? Let's put the order up on television right now. I'm going to read it to our audience that's listening by radio. So this is the order setting forth the oral argument. And it says, it is on the court's on motion order that the following times are allotted for the en banc oral argument of this case scheduled for August 11th, 2020 at 9:30 a.m. Petitioner, Michael T. Flynn, his lawyer can argue for 20 minutes. U.S. Department of Justice, their lawyers can argue for 20 minutes. Honorable Emmett Sullivan, his lawyer can argue for 20 minutes. And then, of course, they say, and we also want to informate, the court wants filings as it relates to disqualification. Andy, as Jordan just pointed out, the provisions of the disqualification code talk about if you're a party, that you're out as the judge. Of course he's a party. The Court of Appeals' own order says it.
Yeah, Jay, that's absolutely true. Look, there's two instances in which the Court of Appeals wants argument. If the judge's impartiality might be questioned, and very clearly, if he is a party to the proceeding or she is a party to the proceeding. Under those cases, they may not sit in judgment on a case. Judge Sullivan has become an intervenor, a party, a petitioner, call him what you will. In the broad general sense of the term, he is a party to the Sullivan case in the district court. And as such, he cannot sit in judgment on General right. Flynn whatsoever. The statute is just abundantly clear. And finally, the D.C. Circuit has woken up and has seen the reality of this and says, wait a minute, let's talk about your impartiality and your inability to serve because you are a party to the proceeding. And they've been very kind to Judge Sullivan up to this point, but now they've gotten to the heart of it. You know what I would do? I would, on Friday, tomorrow, issue an order, and I would simply say the order setting down the matter for oral argument is vacated. The petition is of the Department of Justice is granted. Judge Sullivan dismissed this case and save face.
I think that's exactly right. And, Jordan, I think you send it to another judge. That judge has pending before him then the motion to dismiss, signed by both the government as prosecutor and the defendant, General Flynn, and you grant, as the law requires, the motion is granted. There's a Supreme Court precedent. It was a 9-0 decision. It was by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and it was right on point. And it said they cannot become the litigant. So that's right. It. This case should be over. And I'm with Andy. I think the best thing to happen here would be for this to happen immediately.
Immediately. And this could happen that quickly. I mean, this could happen. August 11th is right around the corner, if it even makes it to that point. I mean, Dad, I'm sure there are people wondering out there, when Judge Sullivan's team saw this, do you think he's considering dropping this without going into oral argument at this point? Because they basically said, they're basically saying, they're calling him a party here.
Yes.
And then they're saying that if you're a party, you're disqualified.
Yeah, I think the judges should do the right. I think Judge Sullivan has taken this too far. With no disrespect to the court, I just want to say this. Judge Sullivan, do the right thing here. And the right thing is enough. You are not the prosecutor. You shouldn't be appealing. This is unprecedented in U.S. history that a judge is appealing an order of the Court of Appeals and is deciding that he's going to be the prosecutor, not the Department of Justice. So he's usurping his authority. And he's impacting Article 2. That's where the president's authority arises, the executive branch of government. Judicial, Article 3. Legislative, Article 1. Article 2 is the executive. That's the president. That's how that works. And this idea that he can come in and just simply take over and become the prosecutor because he doesn't like what the prosecution's done, that's not the way it works. And I think it sounds like to me what is being signaled here by the full en banc panel of the Court of Appeals is this isn't going to be tolerated.
Folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Will Mike Flynn finally get the justice he has so long deserved? I mean, this should have never even happened to him. And what kind of recourse? Ultimately, I mean, if this comes down where a judge gets disqualified and the Department of Justice admitted there was wrongdoing and he should never happen, can he be made whole?
Oh, I think he has the right to potential civil litigation.
Yeah.
All this.
Because it's cost him millions. It's cost him his house.
That's going to be a decision that he's got. Listen, he's got a great lawyer in Sidney Powell. They'll make that determination. I think one thing he wants to do is get rid of this criminal exposure. And then if there's a civil case, you bring the civil case. But right now, job one for them is to get rid of the criminal exposure. And the liberty interests that are involved in that should say, no, you. I think there's a big signal coming from the Court of the en banc panel of the Court of Appeals here. It's not every judge because, as Jordan said, a judge has disqualified Judge Katsas.
Yeah. So again, I mean, this is you got a 10 judge panel at this en banc panel, left leaning, but this has kind of opened the door. A lot of us thought this might go all the way to the Supreme Court because of that 10 judge panel and it being left leaning, but now with this idea, I mean, they're calling him a party in the order. He's not listed as he's listed as a party. He gets time.
Yeah.
So he has attorneys that get time to make oral argument. That alone should mean that why do you even need to have oral argument on that issue? Because I think that en banc panel could do this on their own. They could just say, you know what? Just because you are a party, you're violating this code, you're out.
Well, that's what,
Andy, and then it would be reassigned, right?
Yeah, Andy, that's right. It would be if Judge Sullivan's out, it's not like there's no judge to hear the case now. Now, I guess they could technically order a dismissal of the Court of Appeals. If not, it goes back to a different judge.
It could go back to a different judge, but my feeling is that the embanked panel, the embanked court, that is all the judges in active service of the court, except Judge Katsas, who recused himself, could say right now, look, we have sent you a clear signal, Judge Sullivan. Your impartiality is questioned. You are a party to this case. Do the right thing. Back off. Either go back to your court in the District of Columbia and sign that order dismissing this case, or recuse yourself, or we will recuse yourself for you, and we will appoint another district judge to follow the mandate of the Court of Appeals, and that is to dismiss the Sullivan case. You can't be the judge and the jury and the prosecutor at the same time, Emmett Sullivan. Do the right thing. This is a clear signal to him to wake up and do the right thing. Yeah. I hope it doesn't go to oral argument. It shouldn't.
Well, they've reserved the issue. You know, the reason I think it probably does is they've reserved the issue of this 28 USC 455 issue for the oral argument. So they want it addressed at oral argument. They're not asking for it to be brief before, which means somebody has decided, or a group of judges have decided, that this disqualification issue is kind of the condition precedent before this case can even move forward. I think that's really where this is. I mean, that's where it's starting to look to me.
Yeah, I mean, so we're going to take your calls as we come back. 1-800-684-3110 on Facebook. Lisa wrote in, you know, Judge Sullivan has shown over and over that he is impartial judge in this case. And now they've moved past impartiality because that is an issue here. But now they're looking to say, well, just now that he's become so impartial that he became a party himself, which is kind of like the definition of impartiality. It's like right. when you're a different party, you know, with opposing side. Yeah, I think he has. He's no longer a judge. He's a litigant. He gets oral argument time. He's disqualified.
I mean, when you say that, I can't even believe we're saying that.
I know, but and I can't even believe that en banc panel, once they realize that this would apply, is even making them do an oral argument over it. They should just disqualify him on their own. I think they have the power to do that.
Of course they. Well, I think they can because I think they could order a set aside.
Yeah, yeah. So again, keep explaining this. We'll keep answering your question. Calls are coming in 1-800-684-3110. Ultimately, here seeking justice for Mike Flynn, who was the first one targeted, remember, in this whole hoax witch hunt of a Russian investigation.
That's when this goes.
Yep. Defeat after defeat after defeat. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. I want to take a couple of the phone calls coming in because people have a lot of questions. This is very unusual. Let me go around just our quick panel really quickly. I'll start with Andy. Andy kind of has been a U.S. attorney, so he's been a prosecutor. He's been a defense attorney. He was on the president's impeachment team, and so he's been on both sides in handling the Mueller report, all that. So and still is to this day. Sometimes is brought in by localities to prosecute cases. So he understands both sides in dealing with judges from whether you're on the prosecution side or defense side. Andy, this order, the first time when the en banc panel order came out, I did not feel great about it because I knew this would delay what ultimately I believe will be Mike Flynn getting the justice he deserves. But I thought it would then take the Supreme Court, so it would be like another 6 months or a year. But then I saw this new order yesterday afternoon after we were off the air. And I've never seen anything like it, but at the same time, it gives me some hope that maybe justice is coming from Mike Flynn a little bit sooner.
I think so, Jordan. Somebody on that court woke up and said, wait a minute, why are we looking at this case when the statutes of the United States Code, Title 28, which is the judicial code, say very clearly that a judge... or a justice or a magistrate shall, not may, shall disqualify himself in any proceeding in which he is a party to that proceeding. In other words, you can't be a judge and a party at the same time. And they woke up and amended their order and said, at oral argument, we want you litigants, you parties, that includes you, Judge Sullivan, to address why you shouldn't be removed from this case or ordered to dismiss the Flynn criminal proceeding because you are a party to the case. And that was a signal to him, wake up, Judge Sullivan, back off.
Yeah, look,
go back
I think
to your courtroom and do what we tell you to do.
Or get out of, actually, I think it's a step further than that, Andy. I think it's going to be, if they do the right thing here, if the en banc panel doesn't, at least they're thinking about it, the right thing to do is to say, hey, Judge Sullivan, you're a party, you're out of the case. Now, if they want a quick resolution of this, what they could say is, you know what, the Court of Appeals was correct, we are going to affirm the Court of Appeals, and the judge is disqualified. Because if they affirm the Court of Appeals, the mandate would still go down to Judge Sullivan, who would then have to implement the mandate of the Court of Appeals, that mandate being the dismissal of the case. That's what the three-judge panel said. They would be concerned that Judge Sullivan would still not abide by that and might try some other legal maneuver. So that's why you can affirm the D.C. panel, the three-judge panel, say the entry of dismissal must be made, send it, disqualify Judge Sullivan, and get it to a judge that's going to follow the law in the D.C. District Court.
Well, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. I want to answer people's questions. Paul in Wyoming on line one. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Jay and Andy, thank you for taking my call. My question is, don't you think that Judge Sullivan is taking this case all the way up to November 4th election? Because that's what I see. And I think that you guys are arguing the case like it should be, and you guys are telling the truth, and I appreciate that, and thank you for taking my call.
No, I appreciate it, Paul. Yeah, yes, I think, listen, Judge Sullivan has shown extreme bias in this case. If you go back to even when he called Mike Flynn like a traitor, I mean, this is a three-star general, and now we know that the FBI didn't even think he was lying. He was setting him, and he was trying to protect his kid, so he took a plea. Because the FBI was threatening to go after his family. And he'd already paid millions of dollars to a law firm that, let me just say, won't name them, did not represent him very well. But then he got Sidney Powell. And suddenly, Judge Sullivan got a little more nervous. And then, Attorney Joan Barr, head of the Department of Justice, had a career U.S. attorney, someone who had been in the Department of Justice and FBI, review this and say, you know what? We were completely wrong with even bringing a charge. There was nothing to charge him with. We were wrong. We need to file the motion to have this case, this stopped. And Judge Sullivan showed his extreme bias against General Flynn and President Trump, and I think all Republicans and conservatives. And now, a liberal en banc panel of the D.C. Court, Federal Court of Appeals, is calling him a party to the case, and then going to force him to argue that if you're a party, because you got an attorney here arguing for you, that, by the way, there's this code, it's a federal code, it's section 455, 28 U.S.C. 455, disqualification of judges. He, or a person with a relationship to him, should be disqualified if he, Judge Sullivan, you can insert his name there, is a party to the proceeding. There it is. Right there. Look at the order again. Just put it up on the screen, guys. Share this on Facebook and Periscope so people can see it. In the order, you will see the parties to the case. There's Petitioner Mike Flynn. There's the Department of Justice. There's the Honorable, that's Judge Sullivan. They're each getting 20 minutes of oral argument, and they're ordered to prepare to address the issue of disqualification. The issue of disqualification is because if you're a party or related to a party, he is listed as a party before they even get to that part of the order. To me, you could just take this and he should be disqualified.
Well, that's
because I'm not sure why they even need to have an oral argument over his disqualification. They just made the case. The judges themselves
by the order
just made the case with the order.
Yeah, because the order, as Jordan says, lists the three parties that can participate in the oral argument. And those three parties are Michael Flynn, the Department of Justice, and the judge. Andy, I don't see any way in which 455 does not apply and this judge has to be disqualified. The question is, should they affirm the D.C. panel, which says enter a dismissal, disqualify the judge, send the case back to another judge to enter the order? Because somebody's going to have to enter the order in the district court. That's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah, Jay, that would be the proper procedure. Is you affirm the three-judge panel, dismiss the petitioner's rehearing in bank, remand the case to the district court, and you could do two things, Jay. You could either tell Judge Sullivan, follow our instructions and dismiss this case, or if you won't, we're going to have it assigned to another district judge who's going to do what the Court of Appeals says you're supposed to do. Those are the alternatives. But they've given him an out. They have signaled to him, Judge Sullivan, you've overdone it. You've dug your heels in. We've given deference to you because you're the oldest serving judge on the D.C. Circuit. We've been nice to you. We call you honorable. You're 72 years old. You've been on the court 20 years. Wake up and do the right thing. Give us the opportunity to save your face for you and dismiss this case. Whether he will wake up to that before August 11th, I don't know.
We've got a lot of folks watching on Facebook and Periscope. Let me encourage you, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this now with your friends and family. We're over 6,000 of you watching right now just on Facebook and Periscope. Of course, hundreds of thousands, if not a million, listening on radio right now as well. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org as well. We've got a lot to talk about coming up and more of your calls to take in the second half hour. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. You might see, hey, Jordan, what is that that you're wearing? That's the American flag. That's, I voted. It's a primary day here where we live, and so I know, Dad, you voted.
I didn't wear the little badge.
Yeah, the little sticker.
But I went this morning.
But yeah, so explain for people out there, because I think before we get to back to this issue too, because this is going to be a huge issue. Some people don't have another primary until the general election. Since a lot of the COVID restrictions went in,
it was interesting.
So it's changed a lot since the last primaries were like the presidential ones, and those were mostly Democrats. Those were kind of pre-COVID.
Yeah,
they didn't have those kind of rules, the restrictions. What was it like?
So Pam and I went, your mother and I went, and earlier this morning, and it wasn't jammed because they've got now you don't have just one polling place.
Yeah,
they've done in our county, which I think is really smart, is give you the option of about 10. So that spreads it out, and you don't get the. Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody was where the poll workers were wearing a mask and a glove. Yeah. They gave you a stylus that was just for you to use. You filled out the forms, took the stylus, went in, never touched the screen with your hand, used the stylus. At the end, when it was over with, you print out the ballot. You take that printed ballot, put it into a computer thing right there, very easy. Take the stylus, put it into a like a used stylus bin, basically, and then they clean them and use them for the next group. It was pretty flawless.
Yeah.
It really was. I was very impressed.
So, again, I encourage people that, you know, that if you're concerned about that, and again, I think if you have time right now and you're talking about the general election, if you still have time to request an absentee ballot because you've got a pre-existing condition, I'd encourage you to probably do that. But I think what you're hearing is that they are taking the precautions necessary. Now, I'm a little bit more concerned about if they don't do what they did like in your county and make more places available, because it does take a little bit longer. Even this is a primary day. Turnout is much lower on a primary day than a presidential election. And there's not that many contested races where we are, where we live. There's one big one, but only on one side of the aisle. So, you know, election day, long lines, again, take that into account. If you have pre-existing conditions, look at your absentee ballot rules in your state. When do you need to apply for one? Are you going to be in town? Are you going to be traveling? But just think about that now, or you could miss that opportunity. Let's get back to Flynn. A lot of calls about this.
Why don't you update everybody? Because we got a lot. This is the second half hour, and sometimes some stations carry the whole hour, some carry just a half, and then play another half later. Yeah. So redo it for everybody.
So here we go. Let's put it up on the screen for Facebook and Periscope. This order came from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. So this is the en banc panel that decided they would hear an appeal by Judge Sullivan of the three-judge panel's 2-1 decision against him, saying that he needed to accept the Department of Justice decision to drop charges against Michael Flynn. And so the order originally came out in July 30th, and it was scheduled for oral argument August 11th. Well, there's still oral argument August 11th, but they've asked for two new issues. It's really one issue. It's one code section to be argued at oral argument. They don't have time for briefing on this because it's 6 days, 5 days. So here's the issues, Dad. I mean, this is if you want to go through it, it's one section of the U.S. Code, 28 U.S.C. 455. Section 455. It's the disqualification of a judge.
Yeah, and it says basically that any judge should be disqualified if it involves impartiality. And then it says he or his spouse or a person within the third degree of a relationship or either of them. And then it says a person who's a party. Well, he's a party. They just announced that in their briefing order, in their oral argument order. So, of course, he's a party. So he has to disqualify. I think the only question left is, and this is the real question, is does the D.C. Court of Appeals en banc say the three-judge panel got it right, so the case should be dismissed, but let's disqualify Sullivan, send it to another judge to issue the order because we don't want to be going through this for another 6 months or another year. That's what I think is the real standard left.
Folks, we got a lot of phone calls to take, and we are going to start taking those right when we come back from the break, because I know people, there's a lot of questions about this. This is a very bizarre process that this case has gone through, because it should have never been a case in the first place. It's a hoax. It's a sham. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So I want to get to phone calls. And I mean, even though we're only into the fifth segment of the broadcast, people have been holding on because we've been trying to explain this to the audience. And as my dad said, we came back our second half hour. We kind of needed to reset this because this is something so different, so unique. So now we'll start taking some calls about it as well. Jerry in Rhode Island on line three, the good question. Jerry, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello, team. The three most experienced people up there, Jay, the professor, and Mr. Connable, all were saying the same thing before the mandamus.
Right.
So the question, and the only new word I heard today, Mr. Connable said that basically the judge didn't intervene. Right. He did a motion to intervene without using a motion. He did an order. How come this took so long that judge finally had the wake-up call that you guys had 6 weeks ago?
I thought the judge should have recused himself 6 months ago because of the statements he was making. But having said that, you're right, though, Jerry, as it got to this stage, I said, wait a minute. And Andy, you said this too. The judge is now acting like a party. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. The judge is not to be the party here. And it's clearly he's the party because in the order, put that order up on the screen for our television audience because they need to see this. Here's the order. And it lists who the parties are. Petitioner Michael Flynn. He'll have 20 minutes. The United States Department of Justice. They'll have 20 minutes. Honorable Emmett Sullivan. His lawyers will have 20 minutes. Andy, it is clear. Now, again, it's going to be addressed in oral argument. I would wish that the court would say, you know what, we've evaluated this. The judge should be disqualified. This shouldn't take place. Maybe they're just going to do that at the argument. But at the end, it has to go back to a different judge. There's no way Judge Sullivan can be adjudicating the finality of this order.
No, there's no way. He's already met the first criterion for disqualification, Jay, and that is his impartiality. The things that he has said about Michael Flynn, called him, as Jordan pointed out, a traitor to his country. The attitude that he has taken all impact upon that impartiality and indicate to me that he cannot be an impartial judicial officer in this case. But what really bothers me most is that he is a party to the case. He has intervened in the case. He has petitioned for rehearing in bank. He has gotten that relief. My God, what else is he but a party to the case? And the Title 28 of the United States Code says in pertinent part that if you are a party to a proceeding, then you must disqualify yourself from being a judicial officer in that proceeding. What else is he but a party? The first question I would ask him, if I was up there, I would ask his counsel, what is Judge Sullivan's role before the court today? And the answer is, well, He is a party intervener petitioner. There's no other answer. He's not just someone came off the street and says, I'd like to be heard. He's listed as a party. Therefore, I would say, follow-up question, then why doesn't he disqualify himself so that we can send this case back to the district court, albeit perhaps to another judge, to enter the order of the court dismissing the case? This oral argument should take not an hour, not 20 minutes per side for the three sides, but about 3 minutes, Jay.
No, I agree. But I think that, look, we're going to find out. I guess it'll be audio. They'll probably have the audio played somewhere, C-SPAN. So we'll get it. Listen to that. We'll be able to give you some analysis of it. I think it'll be very interesting to see. All right, let's take some more calls, Jordan. We normally do this in the second segment, but
yeah,
so many calls have come in.
I want to open some lines up.
Yeah.
And good questions. Jeff in North Carolina on Live 4. Jeff, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. Just wondering if there's any legal precedent that's been set here by allowing this to go on for so long that could come up in the future with other judges that may have some sort of hidden agendas and want to do the same thing.
Well, here's something that's important to say, and it kind of gets lost in this. The D.C. Court of Appeals, the three-judge panel, said, this isn't right. Enter the dismissal. And this judge, Judge Sullivan, with due respect to the court, took up on his own this motion for rehearing en banc. So after you're appointed effectively like a special counsel, his own independent counsel, he then, and has another lawyer representing him in this proceeding, takes up this new charge, right, to the full en banc court. So the precedent that's out there right now says this case should be dismissed and Judge Sullivan should dismiss it. I think what's going to happen now is they're going to say this case should be dismissed. Judge Sullivan's disqualified because it has to, Jeff, go back to the district court to get the order issued once what's called the mandate's delivered from the Court of Appeals.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. Let's take more calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, this is an interesting one from Cindy in Illinois Online 2 because it's a judge in this situation. Cindy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Thank you, hon, for taking my call. I was just wondering, since Judge Sullivan, since he's fighting everything and not going along with anything that he's supposed to go along with, why isn't he found in contempt and thrown in jail?
Well, then it's not the way it works. Let's be clear.
He's a judge. He's a judge.
Someone would have to adjudicate a crime. No one's alleging criminal conduct here. There may be judicial misconduct here. There might be a form of that. There may be a strong rebuke coming, as it did from the Court of Appeals, from the en banc panel. But that's not the way our system of justice works. We don't want people just being thrown in jail. He's the judge. Another judge would have to adjudicate the judge. What we have to do here is, and I think Cindy Powell is handling this exactly correctly, the order is going to be issued probably within weeks of the argument, if not sooner. They've already indicated that they have a problem. At least there's an issue that they want to address with regard to the provision of 28 U.S.C. 455, which says, hey, if you're a party, you're not supposed to be having a case before us. So they've already raised it. It's now what's called a live controversy. So I think that's the way, Andy, it gets handled.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but, the fact that the Court of Appeals has now said address these two sections of Title 28 is really sending a signal that there are some judges on that court, and it could be even the Democrat appointee judges, who are disturbed by what Judge Sullivan is doing in this case. And that is not showing partiality and not recusing himself. And not being being a party to the case, being per se disqualified. The fact that they said stop before we even get to oral argument, and they issued this order on their own motion, Jay and Jordan, and they're saying, I want you to look at these two sections and I want these addressed. That is telling Judge Sullivan in a great signal, you need to get out of this thing. You need to get out of this thing because the time has come for you to play the role of judge and to be the umpire, and not to be the petitioner and the party and the intervener
right
in this case. You're disqualified. Get out.
No, that's exactly right.
All right. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
I want to say something. You know, for some of you that are new to us, we have a whole practice group that does the Freedom of Information Act request. And part of what we did in this was we wanted to get to the bottom of this whole unmasking. Remember, there was this unmasking of General Flynn, unmasking of others. And I'm holding in my hand the quarterly report that was issued by our Government Accountability Project. And this is a... this is a quarter, and it's, if you're looking at it on TV, it's a, you know, it's almost an inch thick, hundreds of pages, and you go through thousands and thousands of pages to find a couple of great things, but boy, we found some great things. And then in the last order we got, Andy, and quickly here, we had the court make a ruling that these individuals that were doing the unmasking, like Samantha Powers and others who were kind of blaming their associates, can't hide behind that. That was a major ruling in FOIA litigation.
That's right, Jay. It used to be that they could say, well, I didn't do the unmasking request. One of my subordinates did it. But the court said, look, if your subordinate did it at your direction, you did it. You can't hide behind that. So they unmasked the unmasker. So that, I think, was a great victory. But we would not have had that happen if we had not pursued diligently the Freedom of Information Act litigation that we pursue at the ACLJ, and I think that was a victory. Some people called it a partial victory. I think it was a great victory, because now if you did the unmasking and you did it through a subordinate, no. You did it, and you have to be the one to account for it.
So here's what I want to say to our ACLJ members, or for those of you that enjoy watching this broadcast, whether it is going after the deep state, whether it is litigation that we're engaged in, whether it is defending the persecuted church and getting individuals out of prison because of their faith in other countries, whether it's training lawyers to fight for religious liberty, not just here in the United States, but around the globe, whether it is producing a daily, 5 days a week, 1 hour live television and radio broadcast heard on thousands of radio stations, on TV platforms, on social media platforms, your support of the ACLJ enables us to do all of this. And that is whether it's our broadcast advocacy, our media advocacy, and a lot of you listening to this broadcast now, this comes to you each and every day at no charge. We want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. And when you do that, you're supporting our production teams, our videos, our movies. Tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to talk about one of the movies we've just recently completed that we want you to see, involving, guess who? The IRS. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Whether it's that kind of production and other things that we are working on right now, some special content. I won't hint it out yet. Everybody's telling me don't hint it out yet, but something that I think could have a great impact for your family. The ACLJ is front and center on this. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Go to ACLJ.org today. That's ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We have got a lot of phone calls, a lot of questions. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of legal issues lately at the ACLJ and walking you through all those school cases. We're up to over 1,500 parents that have contacted us for their kids. We're taking action on that. I mean, I'm telling you, we've got emails coming in at midnight, going out to governors, letters going to the chief, their chief legal officers in states. We've got them going to school boards and school districts, potential litigation and others that are more long-term. So we're trying to handle the short-term ones as quickly as possible that we've talked about. And there's some that, I mean, that could be very long-term. So litigation is a possibility because we're not talking about just like a 2 week until school goes back, but like school's not going back this year. So what happens on childcare? What happens with special needs? So that's going to continue to develop over time. But of course, now with this Flynn news, it's a lot. I'm glad we're all attorneys on this broadcast today that we can help walk you through how interesting and this is and why it is a very positive sign. You never guarantee, but a positive sign for Mike Flynn, especially coming from a liberal leading full en banc panel of the D.C. Federal Court of Appeals. So let's go right to your phones, and we'll go in the order of how long people have been on the line. Renee in Michigan, line five, you're on first. Hey, Renee.
Hi. I'm not an attorney, so my question might be outside the box.
Don't worry.
But in following this case, I keep hearing if both parties agree to dismiss,
right,
the judge has to dismiss. But now you're making Judge Sullivan a party who's not going to want to dismiss it.
Well,
so can it continue the case with another judge?
That's a good question. He is not a real party in interest. Andy, right? I mean, he's not a real party. He's made himself a party by the actions he's taking, but he's not a party that has control or influence over the decision that would be made. For instance, the decision here is when the prosecutor and the defendant say dismiss, the judges are supposed to say, yes, we'll dismiss and enter the order. Here, the judge appoints an independent counsel to see if he could prosecute Flynn. I'm serious. After the Department of Justice said no, so that the judge could then do what? And now he's appealed it when he got admonished by the D.C. Court of Appeals, Andy. That's what's happened here.
That's what's happened. He has become a party litigant to the case, and under the federal statute, he is a party to the proceeding and is disqualified. Jay, it's like me. I prosecute criminal cases in the state of Georgia. If I decided to dismiss a criminal case and the defendant agrees that it ought to be dismissed, the judge has one function: sign an order dismissing the case. The judge can't come in and say, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to do this. I believe I want to take this to the Court of Appeals and see if, in fact, this person should not be prosecuted. That's not your function, Your Honor. Your function is not to, as Justice Ginsburg said, sally forth every day looking for wrongs to right. That's not your function. Your function is to rule on cases that are brought before you.
Yep, absolutely. Take another caller.
All right, back to the folks we go. We're going in order. Let's go to Jim in Ohio on line three. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, hello. I think you just answered my question by talking to Renee just now. I was going to ask whether Judge Sullivan being named a party this appeal necessarily makes him a party to the matter of the Flynn case.
No, he shouldn't be. He's not a party to the Flynn case in the sense that he is a decision. He's not a decision maker as to what motions would be filed. He's made himself a party by this appeal he took when he, you know, decided that then he took it from the Court of Appeals and he lost. And this is where the government and Sidney Powell, the lawyer for General Flynn, saying he doesn't have the authority to do this. And now it looks like with the new order coming out where they say under 28 U.S.C. 455, they want oral argument as to whether or not the judge should be disqualified. I think the answer to that by anybody that reads the statute is 100%. Yes, it should be unanimous there. And then send it back to another judge to actually enter the order of dismissal. So what I hope that the court does is enter the order of dismissal. That would be the number one. Number two, disqualify Judge Sullivan. Send it back to another judge who has to issue the mandate from the Court of Appeals.
Let's go right back to the phones again. Let's go to Steve in Alabama, line two. Steve, you're on.
Hey, thanks for all you guys do. Is it common for a judge of a case to follow that case to a higher court accompanied by his own attorneys?
Andy, I have never seen it.
I've never seen it ever happen. I've practiced law for 45 years. You do what the appellate court tells you to do. You don't appeal those and become parties to the case.
So between me and Andy, that's 95 years. Add 10 years for Jordan, that's 105 years. Never seen it.
No, nothing like this. And then the en banc panel, which was looking bad for Flynn, and maybe like, oh, this is going to take the Supreme Court to finally bring him justice. I mean, when's this guy finally going to get the justice that the Department of Justice said he deserves, too? The prosecutors have said he deserves, that they were wrong. And then you get this curveball thrown in that, well, Sullivan, hey, you know what? There's this code, and you're going to have to argue it, that says that if you're arguing and you're a party to a case, you're disqualified as judge. I think the order itself disqualifies him. But, again, let's try to take these last two calls of the day. Wes in Tennessee, then Bill in Nevada. Wes, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Yep. So I'm a cynic, and as the longer I watch this case go on, the more cynical I get. Now, I did listen to you guys last week when you said you thought this was headed to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
What is it that makes you think, doesn't it just take one of the three conservative justices to add this to the order? This doesn't give me any confidence
just a couple of judges decided to bring up this on their own motion, but it's telling that it's included in the order. And we are still concerned about what the Court of Appeals en banc will do here. So it may take Supreme Court action, but at least it gave us a reminder
of the statute that the Supreme Court will look to as well if they have to.
Yes, I think that's right.
Do I want this to go to the Supreme Court? No. Did I want this to go en banc? No. Did I think this should ever have gone to trial? No, because the Department of Justice said the FBI was wrong to even start asking Mike Flynn questions. They had no basis for their investigation.
Yep.
But this reminds you that you can get a judge dismissed and a court can actually disqualify them. A final call of the day, Bill in Nevada, line six. Bill, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thanks a lot, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
And my question is a two-part. First of all, once this is all ironed out, that it proves that Judge Sullivan is a party to this, will General Flynn have any recourse at a civil case against him for his actions?
Probably not a civil case against Judge Flynn. They have probably civil causes of action against the way this whole prosecution went down and the failure to deliver exculpatory evidence, but that's a different case. But not a civil case. There's nothing that I can think of that would actually do that.
It's unprecedented. Now, what do you think Sidney Powell is going to do since President Trump has not pardoned him?
Well, I think what Sidney Powell wants to do is get her client exonerated,
yeah,
Andy. That's better.
Thing.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I think we just have a minute left here, so I appreciate Andy joining us for the full show today. But if you can be exonerated, it's better than a pardon. You know, so if you could, like, in the case of these situations where you can be pardoned, that's one thing, but that doesn't mean that you didn't commit the crime. Here, in Mike Flynn's case, the Department just saying you didn't commit the crime, and then we'll also give him the opportunity to seek damages, basically, from the U.S. government for the cost of his legal fees, for what they admitted was charges that should have never been brought, an investigation that had no basis to begin with. So that's why Sidney Powell's not pushing for a pardon, or Mike Flynn's not pushing for a pardon. He knows, ultimately, he can seek justice.
All right, folks, don't forget the ACLJ Matching Challenge, ACLJ.org. This broadcast, the legal work, all of it because of your support.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.